point. Take the 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 point. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Take the Points Bowl Game Preview Part 2. Dan, how's it going out there?
Feeling good. It's actually been a little cold here in Arizona. Been nice and warm for you in the Northeast. Kind of weird, but yeah, life's good. Working a lot. Holidays are kind of a bitch for my job, but we're almost there. The only problem is all the Notre Dame and Ohio State fans are going to infest Phoenix over the next 5 days, so I'm going to have to get a lot of sleep and maybe have some green tea or something, try to get mellow. Because someone's going to say something, and they're going to be wearing one of those two jerseys, and it ain't going to matter. So it's pretty bad. I am pretty much cursed here. Last year I got the Patriots for the Super Bowl, and then I get the freaking Notre Dame and Ohio State for the Fiesta Bowl. So hopefully for the national title game, it's impossible to get worse. I'll take any of those two of those four teams all day. Like, it can be Oklahoma. Yeah, just Oklahoma against either one. That's way better. So it's totally fine.
I think we got some pretty good fan bases in the playoff this year. Clemson, people are all cool. Alabama, you know, they're a unique brand of fan, but they're very passionate. They're cool. Michigan State, as I've always said, are the best fans in the Big Ten in terms of just being nice. And what team am I forgetting? Oh, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them. But I assume they're nice since they're from that, middle of the country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they roll in with their, like, double-barreled shotguns on you.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
So, for those just joining us, this is part two of our bowl game preview. A couple weeks ago, we released part one, and a little update. I am 13-8 so far in my bowl pick'em. That is just straight-up picks, though. That's not against the spread, so it's not as impressive. But I am in the top five of my pool that I do, which has about 22 people or so. So
there you go.
It's been a tough year. Dan, what from the first couple weeks has impressed you the most? What games have you been interested? What lines have thrown you off a little bit? What are your takeaways?
Just a couple of weird recaps. We talked about the first bowl game, New Mexico against Arizona, how that's a shootout every year, and it's close. Again, this year, take the points and the over in that game. And, I mean, it's every single year in that bowl game. There's something about that first bowl game that always seems wide open. I think it's because the teams have a very short layoff, so they're actually, in a routine and a rhythm. They only are off, 2 weeks, which is a lot different than some of those other teams, which we never
think
really
it helps that
of.
We had Rich Rod in there and the Bob Davies defense.
Wow, that also helped. But New Mexico somehow scored, I don't know. That was interesting. Nebraska beating UCLA was interesting. That was a shady line move. Me and Tom talked a little bit about that before we started this. But basically, that line opened at 6.5. Everyone put money on UCLA, and still that line kept dropping to 4.5. And just weird when you see 80-some% of the money's going towards one team, and all of a sudden the line drops, and it was never even close. UCLA was had zero chance of covering that game. So that was interesting, but so far, so good. There've been a couple.
Yeah, let me interject there. I don't know how the people who listen to this, I don't know what their knowledge is of betting lines, if they just listen for our witty sense of humor or if they actually listen for gambling information. But this might seem simple to some people, but to others might not understand. When all the money's going to one side, the line is supposed to move in the opposite direction. And so the fact that 85% of the money is going on UCLA, and the line is still moving toward UCLA, it indicates either Vegas knew something that we didn't know, there was some shadiness involved. It kind of is what would happen if a game was being thrown, but obviously I would never accuse anyone of that.
The only explanation is that small percentage of money that was going on the Cornhuskers was massive money. Some guy could walk up and bet $20 on UCLA, and then some guy might roll in with $100,000 and bet that on Nebraska. I mean, that's the only
possible. So Warren Buffett showed up at the sports book, is what you're saying?
It's very very plausible. That's the only way. But That was a shady ass game, but early bowl season was good. Nice to see Navy win. San Diego State kept on rolling. There were some other good games, but now it's really starting to get good. I mean, we're getting there now. I'm excited to talk about these next games.
Me too. Best game of the year so far, I'm going to say maybe actual Appalachian State versus Ohio, but I'd probably give a slight nod to Indiana Duke, which I made fun of, but that ended up being the most exciting game, ending with a somewhat shady field goal miss that looked like it was in.
Very shady, very, very
But
shady
if you're an
indeed.
Indiana fan, if it makes you feel any better, nobody cares and you're still not good. So there you go. Before we get into the playoff and the other games, Dan, one bet caught my eye. Now we're recording on Monday night. I should also mention I've been sick for like 5 days. So if I sound like shit, that's the reason. Me and Dan are going to drink some Tussin after this, get high.
Listen to
But
Future.
yes. But Leonard Fournette plays tomorrow night against Texas A&M. No, Texas Tech, which is even worse than Texas A&M. They have the worst defense basically in America, aside from a couple small schools. And the over-under on Fournette TDs is 1.5 on sportsbook.com and some other sites. Now, the odds aren't good. I saw it was around -250, but that is a stone-cold lock.
It's
That,
coming
as
in.
Dan said, that's going to come in at around the 9-minute mark of the first quarter.
It is. He's gonna have a 47-yard touchdown run and like a 22-yard run. He'll save the 86-yard run for at least the second quarter. But like, just take all your money, turn off the podcast now, go to your favorite shady website, enjoy yourself, and bet all your money on the over on the Fournette because that's coming in.
Yes, for people who haven't watched Texas Tech, who haven't had the pleasure of watching Texas Tech this year,
The coolest team ever. They're the coolest.
I don't have updated stats, but as of, with about 2 weeks left in the season, they were the number one offense in America and the number 121st defense. So for those of you who watch Fournette get bottled up by Alabama, that will not be happening against Texas Tech. Enjoy that one.
You're absolutely right. They have a historically awful defense. I mean, we've watched a lot of college football games, thousands, and they have the worst defense I've ever seen. I'm just going to just quickly rattle off the points they've given up every game this year for you if you haven't tuned in at all. 45, 20, 24, 55, 63, 31, 20, 63, 70, 31, 44, 45. And those are against like not that great of teams. Like, there's only really like two or three elite offenses they played the whole year. They played TCU when they were healthy. They played Art Baylor or Art Briles and Baylor when they were healthy.
And they played Oklahoma when Oklahoma was just starting to get good.
Yeah, and outside of that, it's all trash. It's UTEP, Sam Houston, Iowa State, Kansas State, Texas, and you're still giving up those numbers. Les Miles, you have fun with this one. Like, one thing I've noticed from watching these bowl games over the years is every time you think it's like really cool to take like a high scoring team like Texas Tech and the points, and you're like they can outscore anybody, but LSU will just absolutely wear them down. Like, they're just not even going to be able to even make a tackle halfway through this game. It's going to be really crazy to watch. I can't. That's one of my favorite games I'm looking forward to.
Me too. And so for those of you who want to hear about this week's games or the games up till Thursday night, listen to part one, our last podcast, which has been on iTunes and Stitcher and takethepoints.net now for a couple weeks. But we're
Big
going to
set.
get started. We're going to go right into it and talk about the playoff first, because I know that's what people really want to hear about. And then we will do the rest of the remaining games. So, before we start with the games, Dan, what are your feelings on these New Year's Eve playoffs? We got 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. here on the East Coast, and then where you live, you're on Pacific time now, right?
Right now I'm Mountain Time.
Okay, I love it. Arizona's confusing. I do love them because they basically said fuck you to daylight savings time,
Yeah,
which
we're
makes
mountain
them the
raised.
coolest state. They were
Don't
like,
worry about
daylight savings time, more sunlight for farmers. No, we're not going to do that.
it. Nope, not needed out here. A lot of sun.
So, 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. on the West Coast, which I guess means the games are 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. for you.
Yes.
I mean, that's, if you've got a, you know, a job, I mean, you work mainly nights or some afternoons and stuff, but if you're a 9-to-5 job, that totally sucks. And then if you're here on the East Coast, Alabama, Michigan State at 8 p.m., I mean, either say goodbye to any New Year's Eve going out plans or you're just going to miss the game. So how are you dealing with this unfortunate situation, Dan?
This is absolutely horrible. They should never do this fucking shit ever again. This pisses me off so bad. If you're a man in a relationship on the East Coast and you're not married, you're going to have a stressful weekend. Even if you're married and like you already got it locked down, it's going to be a little stressful. But if you're just going out with a girl, well, we're going to meet over at our girlfriend's place at 10 o'clock before we go out for New Year's. You're like, that's halftime of
there will be no
State,
football
Alabama.
On in that scenario. None.
It's going to be bad. Like, there's going to be tens of thousands of fights amongst couples that did not need to happen on a great night like New Year's Eve, where you get to kiss your girlfriend or wife or boyfriend or whatever. I don't give a shit. You know me. So, like, instead, you're going to see people who are already angry that their teams are losing, huge fan bases, and then the whole girlfriend, boyfriend going out, whole, are we going out for dinner? He's like, we can't go out for dinner. It's a mess. It's totally awful. Scrap it. Never do it again. I hope no one watches except for college football fans, so the ratings are so bad they have to change it. Totally, totally ridiculous. There ain't shit going on January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, you name it. Like, go back to the way it was. Have it on a Thursday night and a Saturday night. That's how they should do it.
You know, it's interesting. I was obviously with my family for Christmas just a few days ago, and I was debating with my brother. He seems to think that it's not going to affect the ratings that much. I say it's going to be a huge drop-off, especially you can compare Alabama, Ohio State of last year to Alabama, Michigan State. Similar matchup, same conferences. I think that's going to be a pretty direct comparison. I think that you're going to see a significant drop off. I'm talking like 75 or less percent of the viewership from last year's game. And I think it's going to be bad. I think this will be the last year they do it like this.
Yeah, I just hope it is, because it's just horrible scheduling. You know, New Year's Eve should like have one game that starts like at night on the East Coast at like 7:30. I think like for years it used to be like what game was that? The Peach Bowl, I believe. Like it would always be like a fun like North Carolina against like a SEC team like Texas A&M, and it would be or something like that. You know, and it'd be a fun game. It would end at 11 o'clock at night. You go, all right, now we can get after it. And like, even if you're out, like you'll be on some TVs, and it's not the end of the world if you miss the Peach Bowl, you know. But this is just bullshit. Like, I'm so mad about this.
Right, and I understand the Rose Bowl kind of, from what I understand, is holding everyone hostage. They want to be on January 1st. It's a 100-year tradition. I get it. The Rose Bowl starts at 4:30, 5 o'clock. Have one of the playoff games at noon. Have the other one at 8 or 8:30. Let the Rose Bowl have its place in between. That will probably boost ratings for the Rose Bowl. You'll probably get people who watch 12 hours straight. And then put the other games on New Year's Eve when no one is, well, when people like us are watching.
But that is correct.
I got a predicament, Dan, because I've got friends up from Atlanta, and I only see them, you know, maybe once or twice a year. It's not Keita, don't worry.
Yeah, I knew that.
It's other friends from Atlanta, and they're up, and they want to go out to dinner, which is fine. You know, we're getting old. I can't, like, go out and party in a packed bar the way I used to. But they made the dinner reservation for 7:30, which it's a problem, because that, depending on the first game, that could be the very end, you know, the climax of the first game, and then I'm going to end up missing half of the later game.
All right.
Not sure what to do here.
All right. I am very good at getting out of situations like this. All right.
But here's the thing, before you provide your sage advice, I don't really necessarily want to get out of it. Like, these are good friends and I never get to see them.
Course.
How do I manage both of these things?
Are they a married couple?
Yes. It's actually two
Fantastic.
married couples and then my wife and me, so three married couples and then one other person.
Who's this? Okay. That's
Yeah,
gonna be
I feel
hard.
bad for this other girl because I don't know why you want to hang out with three married couples, but I guess that's how it goes.
She's most likely to get wasted. This isn't gonna be good for you. If it was just four of you going out, what you do is you pull the guy aside, you say, "Look, we got to get the hell out of here, so let's try to get this moving." He'll say, "Okay, deal." Then you do something crafty, like you go to some like cool place and pick up a cake or a cheesecake or some sweets, and you have it at home. So after the entree, they go, "Should we get dessert?" You go, "No, we don't need to get dessert. I already have something at the house that's gonna blow your mind." That saves you a good 20 minutes, half hour right there. That's a good move for wrapping up any dinner, by the way. Have dessert waiting at home for all you guys out there. That's a free man tip right there. Unfortunately, you're fucked.
Yeah, the problem is these other guys are not college football fans. They're more NFL fans, which is what you
Great.
get around here. Not a lot of college football fans here in
No.
Connecticut, except for
Yeah, they're
me.
all. Yeah, you're right. It's all NFL. I would recommend picking up smoking, I guess. So then you can like just say you're going out for a smoke or something and just watch the game.
Dan, now that's the kind of brilliant advice I turn to you for. How much is a beginner vape set? Because I want the smoking break without the cancer.
No problem. Even better. We'll compromise. We'll meet in the middle here. I get you an intro set for like $20. No problem.
This is genius. And what happens when I sit down with my wife and like five other people who have never seen me smoke in their life, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, time for a smoking break.
Say, I'm so happy all of you are here tonight to share this with you. This is my New Year's resolution to be more open with all of you because I care about you so much. And I've been vaping in secret for about a year now, and I'm not going to hide it anymore. So just wanted to let you know tonight that it's been going down for a while now. And in fact, I'm going to go do that now because it's minute 35 to go in the second quarter, and Alabama's got two timeouts, something like that.
That is genius. I thought you were going to say my New Year's resolution is to smoke, which I don't
Well,
know.
either or you got to get so wasted that they kick you out of that bar, and then you got to like go home and just rally. Like have like a Red Bull waiting for you and a pizza and just be like, "Okay, give me a half hour after I have both these things, I'll be locked in and sober."
Yeah, see, that was sort of my plan was we're going to a restaurant with like maybe one TV. That's sort of stashed away in a bar area, but it is in what they call West Hartford Center, which is all these different bars and restaurants, many of which have multiple TVs and will be showing the game. So if I can somehow sabotage the plans at this restaurant and then relocate the whole dinner to a separate restaurant, I think we could be good. Maybe if I vape in the waiter's face, I can like kill two birds with one stone.
See, okay, this is a good idea. When we come back for the national championship game, end of the year podcast, I expect to hear how this night went and how much the game you saw, and I want you to be honest.
All right, sounds good. All right, well, that's all the time we have for this week's podcast. Now, we should actually get into the playoff. Let's go right to it, Dan. So,
Houston, Florida
December,
State.
yeah, we'll get to that afterwards. No one
Okay.
cares.
All right.
Although I do have a strong opinion on that game, it may be my lock of the day.
Oh, boy.
But first, let's go right to the Orange Bowl. Clemson versus Oklahoma, ESPN, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. December 31st, Oklahoma -3.5, over under of 65. Now, I mentioned at the top of this podcast, I am in a pick'em pool, and I'll say right off the bat, I picked Oklahoma to win this game. But in the 2 weeks since I filled that out, I've been having some buyer's remorse, and what I've been thinking is, yes, I think Oklahoma may be the hottest team in the country. I got some stats. I did some preparation for this, which is
Oh,
rare.
you got some
So,
math.
since the Texas loss, they have scored 55, 63, 62, 52, 44, 30 in a down game, and then 58. Mayfield obviously came on as a late Heisman contender. Samaje Perine averaging 162 yards in the last three games, so he's really tearing it up. But here's the thing I knew, but I forgot to consider. The last time Oklahoma faced a starting quarterback, like the quarterback that started the season for the opposing team, do you want to take a guess on that one?
Well, it's been a while because it's not the last 3 weeks, I'll tell you that much.
It's actually like, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm not sure. Go ahead. I'm interested.
So everybody knows, you know, they obviously didn't have to play Seth Russell. They didn't have to play Trevon Boykin, and they didn't have to play against Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. But they also got a backup QB against Kansas, which, again, no one really cares about, and against Iowa State as well, which, again, they would have won anyway. But the last time they faced a starting QB was October 24th when they played the aforementioned Texas Tech and Patrick Mahomes. So they are going on like 3 months, well, 2 months, two and a half by the time this game is played, since they played an actual starting quarterback. And from there, they go to maybe the best quarterback in the country. So I'm wondering, maybe we're just bored of Clemson because they've been, you know, winning, beating everyone, average margin of victory, 38-20. They have two of the best three quality wins out of all the playoff teams, in my opinion. The third being Michigan State's victory over Iowa. Is it possible Clemson is just like the easy pick and thus nobody wants to do it? Oklahoma's like the cool pick, but maybe we should just go with the team that's undefeated?
Yeah, I think these two teams are pretty close. I'd give a slight edge to Oklahoma just because I think they have a better defensive line than Clemson. But Clemson scores points. Oklahoma scores points. I don't like Oklahoma's head coach, Bob Stoops. I don't trust him. I give the edge of head coaching to Mr. Sweeney. This is the biggest game in Clemson history. It's not the biggest game in Oklahoma history. I'm going to take the 3.5. I don't love it. But the over is 64.5. I think you just avoid the line, bet the over, start drinking.
I actually think I'll be taking the points and betting the over in this one.
And drinking.
Well, that is guaranteed. Whether okay, I get good. To watch the game, that's what's up in the air. So who are you picking if you're in a, you know, pick 'em pool like I am? What's your pick?
Oklahoma. Money line. But I'll take the 3.5 because I think Clemson can win or lose by 1, 2, or 3 very likely.
All right. I think we agree totally on that. I was going to play Watch Me Whip, Watch Me Nay Nay, but I don't think I can do that without one of us picking Clemson.
I think you're right.
All right. The Cotton Bowl, 8 p.m., ESPN again, Michigan State versus Alabama. Alabama -9, over-under of 47. Dan, last podcast, what did we talk about with Michigan State? They're getting no respect. They're a 9-point underdog. They beat the defending champs. They're the Big Ten champ. Are they going to get mad? Well, guess what? The last couple days, all I've heard from Michigan State, we don't get any respect. They spelled our coach's name wrong on Sports Illustrated. Nobody thinks we can win. We got the best quarterback. I mean, I agree with all that, but
yep,
it's just so funny. Like, athletes, even college athletes, are so like easy to read. So that's it. Take it away. I'll save my pick for last.
All right. Well, here's the thing about this game is that it's
Dan's walking away from the computer, arms raised in a Creed pose. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this semi-trap song indicates our trap of the week. Dan likes Michigan State, +9. Dan, we were talking about this before the show. This is not a trap song, technically. This can't be real trap because I actually know it.
All right, that was not actually trap. That was the weekend, the hills, for anyone who's been alive this year, so... It's the last podcast of the year. As much as I rip a lot of modern shit, or not modern shit, just poppy stuff, that's the best song of the year. I really think so. So I'm going to go ahead and say that.
I like The Weeknd. I only know like seven pop songs, so there's not much for me to choose from.
No.
But I agree. I think that is one of my 2 to 3 favorite pop songs of the year.
It's a song that like everyone likes no matter what kind of music you like listen to, and that chorus could not be, I mean, it's perfect. Like if you sing that chorus out loud while you're doing anything, you get heated up. I mean, if you want to work out at the gym and do a set, or you're like had a bad day, or if you're going to your little office job to do accounting and you're pissed, go ahead and put on The Hills for 4 minutes and you'll be happy. Anyway, I have so much to say about this game. These two teams are exactly the same, absolutely the same. Look at this. Head coaches, Saban, D'Antonio. Very equal. One coached at Michigan State before, one does now. Push. Running game.
Ooh. I don't know if I can let you slide with a push on Nick Saban, possibly the greatest coach of our era versus anyone. I like D'Antonio a lot, but that's no
Lane
push.
Kiffin.
Like, that's an A plus versus like an A minus.
I didn't explain myself. You have to include the whole coaching staff. You have
Oh,
Kirby.
overall staff. Okay. Yeah. Lane Kiffin
Yes.
definitely drops you 2 grades.
And Kirby Smart's leaving to go to Georgia as well, which is a huge rival. I mean, they are the biggest rival there is, and he's got to get on the recruiting trail. I'm not saying he's going to throw the game because he's not, but and you got Lane Kiffin, who has the worst karma ever. So you add those in. Those two head coaches know each other's style. It's going to be a tight game. Running game. People talk about the factory at Alabama, which is very true. You know, the Yeldon, Henry, Ingram, Lacy, Richardson, even though a couple of them are NFL busts.
Well, they got a pretty good one this year. Two, actually. Drake gets no credit, but he still could start for most teams.
That's what everyone thought about Trent Richardson and Eddie Lacy, too, and they're a bunch of stiffs. It's
Well,
tough.
you did call Derrick Henry Ron Dane 2015.
He's the same dude. So I would never touch him if I was an NFL owner.
Who's going to
Anyway,
be his
moving
lightning to his thunder in the NFL?
on.
Sproles?
He could end up in like Atlanta and they could have the fast guy, Mr. Devontae Freeman, and they'll have him just smash it in at the goal line. But anyway, running game, people talk about Alabama's factory. Michigan State's a factory. That freshman running back looked great against Iowa. Jeremy Langford, Le'Veon Bell, the hits keep on coming. Same thing. Quarterback advantage Michigan State. Connor Cook's the best quarterback in the tournament. It's not close. He's got the best mechanics. He's got the most leadership. If he's healthy, which he should be, he's the best quarterback left. And then people talk about Alabama's defense, and rightfully so. It's probably the best in the country or pretty damn close. Michigan State's right there with them. I mean, they kept Ohio State down. Iowa game was very low scoring. I mean, Iowa scored on an 80-yard touchdown. Outside of that, they didn't give up much. Two great defenses, two great head coaches, two great running games, two great offensive and defensive lines. And Michigan State has a slight advantage, I think, because of the quarterback. And I don't trust Lane Kiffin in big spots. So I don't know. I mean, people say don't be a sucker and take Michigan State, but I don't give a fuck. That's my favorite bet of the entire year is Michigan State plus 10.
So I agree with you. I love Michigan State with the points. And you'll be pleased to know I actually picked Michigan State in my pick'em pick to win this one
That's right.
outright.
Money liner too. Make a little small money line bet.
That's right. For betting purposes, I'm just going to go with the +9. I'm not going to mess around with the money line. Part of the reason I picked them is because pick'em pool strategy. Like, I feel they have a chance to win. And if Alabama wins, I'm in there with 20 other guys who picked Alabama, but if Michigan State wins, there's probably 6 or 7 of us that pick them. So I feel like I like those odds. But I do like Michigan State. As you said, they have the best quarterback, at least in terms of, pro style, technique, skill level. I do think Deshaun Watson is an equally good college quarterback. Mayfield, he's good. He's good in that system, but I wouldn't put him on that same level.
Yep.
LJ Scott's a good running back. He'll get the job done. To me, this game comes down to one thing, and it is basically game planning. The offensive coaching of Alabama, Lane Kiffin, versus the defensive scheme of Michigan State, which unfortunately they're a pretty basic scheme. They don't really do clever zone blitzes or anything, but if they can stack the box, if they can stop Derrick Henry, by stop, I mean like 100 yards, 110 yards. And then just
150.
make, make Coker make difficult outside or deep throws. I don't think he can do it. I think Coker's by far the worst quarterback in this playoff. I don't think he's very good. I think he's very average as a college football quarterback. And by Alabama standards, I don't like him at all. So I'm banking on the fact that they're just going to, you know, stack nine in the box and just make Coker beat them. And he probably will beat them on a couple throws, but that's just the price you have to pay. Just don't let them just hand the ball to Henry over and over and beat you that way. And if it means giving up 2-3 big passing touchdowns, just do it. I mean, Michigan State's going to need to score about 24 to win this game, I think. So
maybe. I
think Alabama's going to get their like three touchdowns,
they
you know,
should.
20, 21 points. So I think you're looking at like a 24-20, 24-21 score either way, whether Alabama wins or whether Michigan State wins. I think the score is about 24-20. So I'm taking the 9 points all day.
Okay. One other thing I'd like to mention is how the wide receiver core for Alabama is all freshmen. They're very young. Very easy for them to run a wrong route in this big-time situation. Coker could be inaccurate. Lane Kiffin could call some crazy-ass play. It doesn't work. There will be turnovers in this game, and I think Michigan State's going to be on the plus side.
Yeah, Michigan State, I mean, if there's a year for them, this is the year. They're a very veteran team. Obviously Connor Cook, but they've also got Burbridge, who I think is a senior or junior. Either way, this is his last year, most likely. The defense is loaded with seniors, the O-line. They've got the veteran advantage over Alabama and over every other team in the playoff. Mm-hmm. It's their year, I think. So we'll see if they can live up to the hype that nobody's given them except us just now.
I'm so excited to watch that game. I can't believe it's already only like 2-3 days away. This is amazing.
All right, Peach Bowl, Florida State versus Houston, noon, December 31st. I've got strong, strong feelings about this. We got a FSU line -6.5, down from -7 originally. I guess it's changed, Dan.
You're pretty much right. I mean, for most all spots, it's still a touchdown. There's one or two spots in Vegas you can get 6.5.
All right, so about a touchdown, over under 55.5, roughly. I love Florida State in this pick, and it's nothing against Houston. I think they're a great offense. They've played very well. They've overachieved, but just based on this matchup, this is about the perfect matchup for FSU. Houston, not great against the run, and Florida State's got one of the best running backs, you know, one of the top three running backs. Some argue the best in all of college football. I think he's going to have a field day. I think Cook is going to get 200 yards in this game, at least a couple touchdowns. I also think the FSU defense is built perfectly to stop Houston's offense. So I love it. I think this is a woodshed victory for Florida State.
It would be, Z, except for the breaking news, Everett Golston out.
Really?
Yep.
What happened? Injury
personal
issues?
Personal issue, and he did not make the trip with the team.
Oh, that must be brand new.
Yep.
All right. Well,
scratch
that certainly
that.
Changes things. Dan, filibuster while I rethink this. So who they got now? Sean McGuire?
Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted me to sing The Weeknd. I didn't know. Oh, okay.
All right, so I guess we got Sean McGuire stepping in.
It's still funny, though, that the line hasn't changed, and you can still get the same line. It's still 7. This has actually been out for about, you know, 18 hours, this news or something.
Oh, I guess I'm behind then. I didn't know that.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, they have played a few games with McGuire at the helm this year, and they've still performed pretty well. The thing about Florida State is they don't really need to throw. I mean, I guess Houston can respond and just put 10 guys in the box, but I'm not sure they can stop Cook.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Florida State. I feel obviously much less confident about it now, but I'm going to stick with it. I think I'll still lay down a small bet on the 6.5-point line.
I don't know. I kind of like Houston a little bit because of the backup quarterback situation. These bowl games are weird. Always take the points in my mind. I don't like laying 7 with a quarterback I don't trust. Houston's been a great story all year. I think they'll be very tough in this game, and even if they're down 20 points, they can get the sneaky backdoor cover. But I'll take the 7 and have some fun.
Yeah, I don't mean to imply that Houston is bad. They're better. I know Florida State played Northern Illinois a couple years ago, and that game was a total blowout. I don't think it will be that one-sided, but I think you're going to get, you know, a 20-point win. Or at least that's what I thought before. Now, without their starting QB, let's say 13.
Sounds more likely.
All right, on to January 1st. A little anticlimactic to start with the playoff and then go backwards, but we got some good games coming up. We've got the Outback Bowl. I've got a song for this one. Northwestern takes on
Tennessee.
We've been doing this podcast 3 years and making jokes about Arrested Development, and we're yet to play the song. You think Arrested Development's going to sue us for use of their song?
Nope. They'll take all the publicity they can get. Why are they not on some sort of reunion tour? Like,
you think they exist anymore?
No. Although, no, yes. It's going to be like the one guy who was in the background who went like, hey, like, it's him, like, this guy from Arrested Development featuring these five guys you've never heard of. Like, maybe that. But unfortunately, no, they were cool, but that's it. No. Mr. Wendell put the end to that. That was horrible.
I've got Tennessee in this game. However, they're favored by 8, and I think that is too many points for a strong Northwestern defense. So I'll be taking the points in this game. Over under a 47.5, I'll be staying away from.
I can't stand Tennessee's head coach, Butch Jones. I've never trusted him. I just can't do it. I'm not laying points with that dude. Can't do it. Staying away, sleeping in, 10 a.m. start, New Year's Day in the mountain time. I'm going to stay away from this one. It's too hard.
You know what the problem is? Part of my logic in picking is that there's a lot of Big Ten teams playing over the next few days, and some of them have to lose, and I've got a lot of them winning, as we'll get to shortly. So I thought this was a pretty even matchup here where maybe the Big Ten will drop one. Now,
we'll
moving
see.
Along, we've got the Citrus Bowl. Now, this is where I like the Big Ten. Michigan versus Florida, 1 p.m. on ABC. Michigan minus 4.5, over under 39. Mm. Yeah, so Florida, Will Grier is transferring. He'll be at, like, La Tech next year, probably.
Yep.
Kelvin Taylor has announced he's turning pro. A couple guys on the defense are going pro. I don't see any motivation for Florida, a Florida team that was already getting pretty bad toward the end of the season.
They have zero motivation. People who are fans of them don't really care about this game that much because they've tailed off. Michigan will be happy to be back in a New Year's Day bowl in sunny Florida, and they'll put in a good effort with a superior head coach. Love Michigan. You cannot bet Florida in the spot. In fact, if you like it, I mean, I would bet it now at 4, 4.5. This thing might skyrocket to 7. It should.
The line is definitely not going to move toward Florida at all, so it can only get worse. I'm with you. Michigan's my pick'em pick. I like Michigan minus 4.5. I guess I would stay away from the over-under because I'm not sure Florida's going to put in more than 10 points. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan just – this turns into a woodshed, you know, a 30-10 type game.
26-6.
Yeah, Florida just, they can't score. I don't know what happened with Will Grier. I mean, was he unhappy there? Was he pissed about the PED suspension and this is his payback? Do you have any inside information?
No clue. Florida's always in turmoil. It's been the same shit for 20 years. There's always someone getting kicked off the team and someone going like number two in the NFL draft. It's just, that's why Florida's good and they're fun to watch. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen. They can win a national title or win 3 games. It's hilarious.
Dan, it's me, the ball coach. This never would have happened if I was coaching. I would have swept this under the rug. You think Danny Werfel, Jesse Palmer didn't do some shit?
Of course he did. He did cocaine in my office.
Actually, Danny Werfel didn't do nothing. That's why he's got a humanitarian ward named after him.
Danny fucking Werfel.
Danny Werfel does have, there is, I don't know if you know this, but there's like the Danny Werfel Humanitarian Award that's given to the college football player who's like the best human being every year.
But
Jesse Palmer, though, I'm sure he like accepted some unpaid for hair gel or something.
Yeah.
Or something else. I'm going to go with hair gel. Dan is gesturing to the Skype camera, but I'm not going to repeat such. All right, we're going with Michigan there.
Easy.
You know, we just talked about Florida State and Jesse Palmer, the ESPN analyst, which made me realize we never got to mention, because it's been a couple weeks since our last one, about America's favorite new conspiracy theorist, Danny Cannell.
He's out of his mind. What the fuck?
I don't know. He's just, one day he's just like, concussions are made up by the liberal media and 9/11 never happened.
Like, whoa, what happened, Danny Cannell? I thought
it's like Danny Cannell. I know he went from,
slow down.
I was like, I thought him picking Georgia to the playoff was a crazy theory, but now concussions apparently aren't real.
Liberal media makes up brain injuries.
I've been concussed several times in my life, Dan. I can tell you they are very real.
Yeah, I know. We all know. They're awful.
I could have been like a Rhodes Scholar if I didn't get hit in the head so many times playing lax at West Genesee.
Well, every concussion is worth like 45 to 55 points on your SAT. So like, I think if you just would have had three less concussions during lax, you could have like really put a special number up there.
I got a 1300, so I could have been like 1500. I could have been Zuckerberg territory.
You could have been, but unfortunately you were playing middle school lax and got jacked in the back by fucking Conklin, and that was it.
You know what sucks about it? That's pretty accurate. You know what sucks about getting concussions in like high school sports? Like, let's say you're, I don't know, JT Barrett, and you're playing in the national championship game, and you get knocked out with a concussion, and then you go on to win or even lose the national title game. But you were concussed, you know, working towards something, like you were concussed in the line of duty, so to speak. I was concussed during like lacrosse practice when I ran in front of the net when like Nate Maselli shot an 80 mile per hour ball and hit my head. I was concussed when my neighbor threw like a 2x4 and it smacked me in the face. I was concussed in an accident when like my friend drove off the road and into a lamppost. Like I've not gotten anything good out of my concussions. It's just been pure brain cell damage and no like cool stories or like memorable moments. I want more out of my concussions.
That's bad. Sorry, Tom.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why we record this podcast now. So when I have CTE damage in like 10 years, we can turn to this and be like, here's a time when he was only kind of stupid.
There you go.
All right, Dan. Fiesta Bowl, the Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl. Notre Dame versus Ohio State in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona.
Absolutely beautiful, but they should get this game over as soon as possible. Conveniently, I'm off work New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and the day after to avoid the Ohio State-Notre Dame nonsense. That being said, Ohio State's a superior team, but Notre Dame's got a lot of talent. This is a lot of points for them. I like Ohio State to win a close game, and I think they cover the 6.5 barely.
So, somewhat breaking news. This was actually off the board a little earlier. Ohio State defensive tackle Jerron Jones is out with a knee injury. And as we, most of us know, Adolphus Washington, their other DT, suspended for breaking team rules. You can Google that one. Go over to your favorite search engine, Google Bing, search with KevinFederline.com, and Google that one. You'll figure that out.
He sent me a fucking LinkedIn request this week. Can you believe it?
Who, Kevin Federline?
Federline. He's LinkedIn.
Is that true? That sounds like something that actually could happen.
Yeah, that's why I said it, because you don't know. But no, that didn't happen.
Oh, except he doesn't have a job, so he's not allowed on LinkedIn.
He He was like signed up on some like internet cafe. Like he doesn't have a computer, but he like likes coffee, so it kind of goes together.
I don't know if our listeners know this, but Search with Kevin was an actual search engine.
It was.
If you went there, it was just a
Let
big picture of Kevin Federline. This is in like 07. There's a big picture of him with the search bar. And it was like, why Google something when you can search with Kevin?
We should purchase that website. Can we look into how much it will cost us to acquire that?
It could be upwards of like $200.
I'll pay 100, but I'll split it with you. We're gonna try to reboot this thing. We can make some
Okay.
money.
This could all be an elaborate ruse for us to just get Kevin Federline to like one of our birthday parties.
I'll pay him like $25.
Well, I'm already married, Dan, but when you get married, maybe he could like get ordained and be the minister.
That'd be perfect. I would love that so much.
All right, so Ohio State, oh, another problem. So their backup, Tommy Shutt, he would be the guy who backed up Adolphus Washington, also out with a foot injury. So they really don't have much at defensive tackle. They're going to have to move Joey Bosa and some of the other guys around. So as much as I like Ohio State's defense and their offense has been playing well, I actually think they've been playing really well the last month or so of the season. They have a bunch of guys, admittedly 4 and 5 star recruits, but they're going to be playing out of position. They're not really going to know that part of the scheme probably. So I don't know how that's going to affect them. My pick in this was Ohio State, made a couple weeks ago. I am seriously thinking about betting on Notre Dame, though.
Here's a question for you, Tom. If
Sure.
Ohio State wins or loses this game,
Right.
it really means nothing, right? Like they're still gonna get the same recruits. They're not gonna win the national title, right? Like it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, a bowl game is, especially a high-profile bowl game, is always a good opportunity to showcase your talent and your scheme and your coaching and players. It'll be a good draw, especially against the most popular team in America. It's a good chance to work on next year's recruits. So you might pick up one or two extra guys out of it. There's always incentives in bowl games, but in the grand scheme of things, I mean it's nothing compared to like what they had last year or what Michigan State is playing for. But you could say the same about Notre Dame.
I would like to say that it makes no sense. Like Urban Meyer is kind of a shady coach, as we've talked about. Ezekiel Elliott got pulled over for a traffic incident yesterday, and this is a perfect chance to show your team example, not play him in the bowl game. He already called out the coaching staff. He's already going to the NFL. There's no reason to play this guy. But guess what? He's coming. He's playing because Meyer has to have this win and say, we only lost one game that year. It's absurd. Like, college sports really frustrate me sometimes. He shouldn't be playing in this game after all the stuff he's done in the past month.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going with that, but I guess I kind of agree with you. This is a good
Yeah,
time
there.
to make an example. If Penn State can sit out Curtis Enos, then
Absolutely. If Joe Giravicious can fail his finals and not play in a bowl game, then this is a good spot. No, seriously, I mean, you're the head coach. You're not going to win the title. You're still going to get the same studs. You're still Ohio State. No one's going to remember if you win or lose this game, to be honest with you, in 2 years. No one. No one at all. So this would be a good spot to sit Elliott. But no, they won't. They're a bunch of assholes. I probably like Notre Dame. I don't know. I said Ohio State. It's Notre Dame back and forth. I'm not betting it. I don't want to watch it. Just stay away.
so what is the line right now?
6.5 for Ohio State.
-6.5 for Ohio State. All right, so I like Notre Dame with the points then, especially given
Okay.
these new injuries.
There you go.
But I'll take Ohio State still in my pick'em. The Rose Bowl. Iowa versus Stanford. Kudos to both these teams. However, as a viewing fan, I do think this is a little bit of an underwhelming Rose Bowl. You pretty much have to be a hardcore fan. I do like both these teams. I like Iowa. I like their styles. It'll be an interesting matchup. But as a casual fan, I don't know how appealing this is. My pick is Stanford. However, I do not like them to cover the 6.5. And I would certainly stay away from the over-under at 53.
All right then. This is a weird game. People will say, well, I only lost one game and blah, 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 blah. This is usually where the one loss team looks like they're good, but they go out to the West Coast, and Stanford's going to be more comfortable playing in this spot. They've been there before. 6.5 sounds like it's too much, but I like Stanford to win by 14.
Agree to disagree. I like Iowa's defense run game. I think they'll hold up. I think you'll see a lot of running. This will be old school football.
Yep.
All righty. I've got a lot of notes for this one. Your Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State versus Ole Miss. ESPN, 8:30 p.m., January 1st. All right. Ole
Yes.
Miss -7, over under 67.5. Now I've got some notes. Both teams should be very motivated. Ole Miss laid an egg last year, losing 42-3 in that game to TCU. Got absolutely embarrassed. Oklahoma State, they kind of overachieved this year. That was Dan Pease's great sleeper pick of the year. They should be proud to be in this New Year's Six game. They should be playing their hearts out. Plus, they're a pretty heavy underdog, so you've got the no respect factor. I can never pronounce the guy's name. Robert Kemdiche?
Close
Mdiche?
enough.
Whatever the fuck his name is. So he's out. Marijuana possession at an Atlanta hotel, which barely even qualifies in my mind as breaking the rules.
So stupid. It doesn't matter, but anyway.
I gotta say, we're running a little late on time, so I'll keep this short. But a couple weeks ago, there was a 60 Minutes did a segment on like college kids getting busted for marijuana, and it focused on Ole Miss and basically like what dicks Ole Miss are about. These kids get busted with like one or two possessions and they try to ruin their life. So I've turned on Ole Miss, even though I like them all season, and of course I like Chad Kelly. I've turned on them. So I'm going against them in this game. I'm picking Oklahoma State out of spite. I also like the over very much. Oklahoma State, ninth in the country, averaging 41.2 points per game. Ole Miss, 14th in the country, averaging 40.3 points a game. So on average, they're getting about 81.5 points a game, and your over under is 67.5. So
On turf.
on turf. So I like the over. And as I said, I'm picking Oklahoma State out of spite. Although I'd feel better about that if I know for sure Mason is playing, as opposed to our
Yeah.
boy J.W. Walsh.
He is listed as probable, so it looks like he's going to play. So I probably like
So
the
from what I
over.
saw, Mason should be back in action, but J.W. Walsh will still get a lot of snaps either way.
Sounds good. I don't think it really matters all that much. I probably like the over too a little bit, not much. And I really don't like the line.
All right. Any thoughts on players getting kicked out of a bowl game for marijuana possession? I know he's going pro, so he probably doesn't care, but can we just stop pretending that's a big deal?
Yes.
Or do you disagree? I mean, do you think a college athlete has a responsibility to not do those sort of things?
I don't know. I think these guys are just kids, a lot of times, and they're under a spotlight that they shouldn't be on. I mean, these guys aren't getting paid, so who the hell cares? I mean, I don't know.
Who
I
are the
think
people
that.
out there that are getting like, I think the justification is that they're like role models and they shouldn't be doing this. But who are the people out there who are still getting offended by marijuana use?
I don't know. They're crazy, apparently.
Yeah, you gotta check yourself before you riggity wreck yourself. There it
That
is.
is correct.
Is a rump shaker, is that trap music?
Kind of, not really, but it's kind of like an extended cousin. Like, oh no, not a cousin. It's like an old great uncle who you never really hung out with, but it's kind of in there.
All right, January 2nd, Tax Slayer Bowl, Penn State versus Georgia, noon on ESPN. Georgia -6.5, over under 42. Now I picked Georgia in my pick'em. This was again was 2 weeks ago. I sort of learned my lesson with the Bowling Green game a couple of days ago. Bowling Green, no coach, looked good all year, but now without their coach, they get smoked by Southern Georgia. So I don't feel good about Georgia. I actually. If I could change my pick, I think I would change to Penn State. Let's see.
for the first time in a long time, I'm going to say I love Penn State in this game. No head coach, offensive or defensive coordinator for Georgia. All three out. Nick Chubb out. An offense that doesn't put up points. A Penn State defense that's actually pretty good. You know, Penn State will have more motivation in this game. Georgia just wants to end the season and start over fresh. Hackenberg wants to put in some nice numbers for the scouts. Everything favors Penn State in this game. Really got to like them plus 6.5.
So Penn State defensive coordinator Bob Shoop allegedly just turned down an offer to replace Will Muschamp at Auburn. How do you feel about that? Auburn could be back to the national title hopes with him there.
It's not good for anybody.
Penn State also has a new offensive coordinator from Fordham, which doesn't sound like anything impressive, but their old offensive coordinator sucked, so this guy's got to be better.
Yeah.
I think I like Penn State. I think I'm going to take them with the points in a small wager. Obviously, it's too late to change my pick'em pool, but I'm regretting that one.
Right.
Dan, about Christian Hackenberg, I've been reading about him and his NFL prospects. Here's what he was supposed to be a top 10 pick maybe at the beginning of the year. Here's what I read about him just in the last week or so. Quote, doesn't look ready for the NFL. Quote, looks more like a project than a prospect. Quote, doesn't look anything like a first round pick. Here's where it gets good. Quote, reminds me of a better version of Logan Thomas. And then here's the worst quote of all. I like him a lot, by Matt Millen.
Well, that one you can just take the opposite.
Exactly. That's why it's the most damning of all.
I don't know. I mean, he was a high school high recruit. He obviously went to the wrong college. Penn State doesn't develop quarterbacks. It's not what they do.
He went there to play with Bill O'Brien, in fairness, not with James Franklin. And so he was on the right path with O'Brien and then regressed over the last year.
Yeah. He's got upside. If he goes to the right team, he can be good. But I don't know. Not right now.
I think he is better off going to the pros and being like a early second round pick and going to a team like I would love to have him in Buffalo or like the Eagles or some team that's sort of middle of the pack right now, like a 7-9 team where he can develop and they don't need just him to win games. But I wonder if he's going to take a look at his numbers and decide to come back. And I wonder as a Penn State fan, if I even want him to come back.
So. Yeah, seriously.
I've been thinking
move
about
it.
I think it's time for both to part ways. His career has not worked out well. Penn State's got a good guy coming in. Liberty Bowl. Kansas State versus Arkansas. Arkansas minus 13, way too many points. Over under 55.5. Take Arkansas for the win, but not the cover.
I think Arkansas is a better team. Kansas State's quarterback's out. That's big. That's why the line's so big. It's hard. I would probably take an under in this game, under 55.5.
Here's a suddenly very exciting game, the Alamo Bowl, Oregon versus TCU.
Love this game.
This is a great one. Yeah, Oregon playing great. TCU's got Boykins back. I picked TCU in my pool. I'm not really sure about this. I mean, it's a pick 'em. I kind of think Oregon's been playing better lately. The more I think about it, the more I wish I went with Oregon. But what are you going to do?
I like Oregon a lot. They've been playing really well lately. We've kind of been sleeping on Oregon because they're not like a national title team. Keep in mind, they were in the playoff a year ago. It wasn't long. How about a nice old school Oregon over hook for old time's sake?
Well, the over-under is 79.5, and you can't pick the under. I mean, that's not allowed, obviously.
103.5 is the Dan P line.
I mean, I think with Boykin playing, I guess Josh Doctson out, I believe.
Out, yeah.
Yeah, that's a killer for TCU. I thought he'd be back, maybe.
Oregon's defense is horrible. Like, they've been giving up 40 points to shitty teams, like, both teams are going to score a ton. Like, each team is going to score in the 40s. It's a coin flip, hence the pick 'em. I give a slight advantage to Oregon. So there you go. Oregon, over.
Okay. All right, take the over. Last game of this podcast, Dan, and this one has your name written all over it. The hometown yep. Cactus Bowl. ASU, your hometown team, versus West Virginia. West Virginia -1, over under 63.5. That is not the score over under, but the over under on how many Red Bulls Dana Holgorsen will drink that week.
That's right. I'll be doing the chop and the hair pull on the sideline.
He resembles a young Phil Collins. I never really noticed it before.
He looks a lot like Phil Collins. That's a good point.
Home game for ASU. I got ASU. Yeah. What do you think?
Home game for ASU. They are currently 6-6, so they don't want to finish 6-7. After like Arizona State here, West Virginia's got to travel out here. It's going to be beautiful after New Year's Day. It's a random game on January 2nd. Late start. Have to like Arizona State in the spot. Even if you're wrong, you can't bet West Virginia. And you're probably like the over two. Maybe a nice four-way parlay late night on the second. Oregon over, Arizona State over. Four-way, throw it out there, have some fun.
All right, that is all the games. I totally agree with you, and I, of course, defer to you on all things Arizona or Pac-12 in general. I did notice one thing I wanted to mention. You talked about them being 6-6. I forget who San Jose State played about a week ago, but San Jose State went in a bowl game at 5-7, and they played another team that was 6-6. Maybe it was Georgia State, I think. And San Jose escaped with the win, so now we have a bowl game where both teams ended with a losing record.
Congratulations.
Nice work, college football.
Pretty awful.
All right, Dan, so we'll be back next week with the national championship game preview. Anything else you want to talk about or suggest or bets that you like going into the next week?
No, not really. Just Happy New Year, everyone. I love New Year's. It's a fun night. I love New Year's Day, traditionally being a college football fan. It's a good day just to sit around and chill and then plan the rest of your 2016. Be safe. There's a lot of idiots out there. And no, seriously, Happy New Year. Listen to the Hills. Turn it up.
Why don't you throw out some tips? You work at a restaurant. I'm sure you get some New Year's people, maybe not at this particular one, but at other restaurants you've worked.
Yes,
I'm sure you get a lot of New Year's crowd. What are some tips you would give people for being like a good New Year's patron, not being a total idiot?
Order a bottle of champagne for you and your lady. You know, it's a classy move. It just looks nice on the table with some ice. Champagne's always nice. It's the one day a year where I will drink champagne and have a hangover the next day. But it's something that you kind of just got to do. So, I don't know. Eat very light food and food that's easy to eat. Like, you know, there's no point going to like an Italian restaurant ordering a big thing of spaghetti and meatballs at 8 o'clock at night. Like, you don't want to do that. You want a nice piece of salmon and a salad, get the cocktails flowing. Maybe an after-dinner drink, then you're on the right track. But don't go heavy. Don't eat a big steak. Don't eat a burger. Don't eat a bunch of crap. Eat well New Year's Eve because you're going to need it. I think that's a good tip.
Good. I like it. Any thoughts about the new O.J. Simpson movie starring David Schwimmer?
I'm pretty interested in seeing it when it comes out.
It's going to be a good one.
Wait, was that Cuba Gooding Jr. playing OJ too?
Yeah, so Cuba Gooding Jr. plays OJ. John Travolta plays Kardashian. I don't know, some guy I never heard of plays Johnny Cochran.
Perfect.
And Schwimmer plays like another Kardashian. They put a lot of Kardashians
himself.
In it.
Well,
you can you'll know this movie was made in 2015 because I sort of remember the OJ trial, although I was young. There was only one Kardashian involved. They're trying to shoehorn in many more Kardashians.
Yep. Kim Kardashian's going to play herself somehow. It's not going to make sense. Like, she's going to be, like, from the future.
She'll be, like, 12.
Yeah, but the same, like, her. Just wearing a dress. Yeah, same thing.
Yes. Too many Kardashians. Let's hope for a Kardashian-free 2016. Or at least a lower number of
Please.
Kardashians. If we could just get rid of, like, three of them, I'd be good.
It's funny you mentioned that. I've had a conversation with my girlfriend recently that there's going to be a Kardashian who's going to pass away or someone that they're married to or something. It's going down soon because Kanye really hasn't put a new album out in a while that's really hot. And Kim's, you know, got this new baby. She's got to work on that weight and stuff. something's got to happen to get the attention on the Kardashian family. So if you're in an office, maybe you can start a Kardashian murder pool.
You think that'll be their next like publicity stunt is just to kill off one of them, Game of Thrones style?
Yeah, of course. Someone has to be sacrificed. Like, they understand. They're like, look, this is worth $100 million. They're all going to sit down and draw straws, and then they're going to ship one out in a car accident, and that's going to be it.
I always thought when we when I didn't know there were younger Kardashians, but you know, in the last year or so when people have started talking about these new Kardashians, I thought they would bounce out, like the older Kardashians would get relegated. I didn't know that they were going to stick around and we'd get a new crop. So maybe it's time to kill off like Khloe, one of the older ones.
Yeah, why not? She can go.
All right. 2016, kill a Kardashian. I think we've got our New Year's resolution.
Happy New Year, everyone. We'll see you for the National Championship pod sometime between the, I guess, January 3rd and 10th.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do it next week, I guess. So probably in about a week, 7 to 10 days from now. Look for the next one.
Sounds good.
Hey, thanks everyone, as always, for listening. We appreciate all the listenership. And we're on Twitter, I guess. I lost the Twitter password, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to use it again, but you could try. Or you could, as always, link up on LinkedIn.
Always.
All right, everyone. Goodbye. Until next time. See ya.
Dude, I'm gonna send you a link. One of the guys who we've talked about on our show, a rapper since Trap Week, a rapper named Future, who you may have heard of, his album cover that just came out is him face like this sideways, and this purplish pink cloud comes out. It's a really cool cover. Robitussin just came out with their new commercial about like how it soothes your lungs. In the video, this guy coughs. Exact, this white guy, middle age, exact same purple pink cloud comes out like the Future cover for the Robitussin cough syrup commercial. It's online today. You can look that shit up. It's fucking hilarious. There's articles about it. There's a Future fan involved in the marketing at Robitussin, and he threw a trap reference that no one in upper management realized. None of them. He got away with it. It's like us thinking like a little Pearl Jam stick man in the corner of an ad if we were like marketing guys in '94. Like, oh, they would know. The old guys were like, what's that? A straw man? Like, yes. We like the Wizard of Oz. It might be the most genius thing ever. If Future shows up on a Robitussin commercial, I'll go buy some Robitussin tomorrow.